You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans who are listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Now on today's show, we'll be celebrating the legacy of number 17 as Keith Hernandez will have his jersey retired this season. But I really want to spend most of the show talking about why he deserves to be in Cooperstown, because the numbers are there. The best defensive first baseman in MLB history deserves to be honored in the Hall of Fame. So we'll get through all that. But before we do, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at justbaseball.com, where I just wrote a piece based on this podcast as well, talking about why Keith Hernandez deserves to be a Hall of Famer. But before we dive into that, I don't want the Hall of Fame conversation to overshadow what this means to the New York Mets franchise. Keith Hernandez is one of the most significant players this team has ever had. Outside of Tom Seaver, there's an argument to be made for Keith Hernandez being the most significant player in franchise history. And the reason why I say that is because you look at what this franchise has been, and Tom Seaver obviously put the Mets on the map, and they had the Miracle World Series in 1969. But the greatest run of success this organization has ever had is those 1980s teams. And none of that happens without the leadership of Keith Hernandez. If he doesn't come in 1983, realize that there's some talent on the roster, and decide to stick around for 84, 85, 86, and even beyond that, who knows if the Mets ever would have reached the heights that they did in 1986, where Keith Hernandez was the team's best player. So today, as I sit here recording this show, I'm wearing my Mike Piazza jersey. You can't see the back of it. Also, I don't know if you can see the patch here. The patch on it, if you're looking on YouTube, is the Hall of Fame patch. I bought this jersey in Cooperstown when I was there for Mike Piazza's induction with my dad. And I'll tell you, if Keith Hernandez gets in, we're heading back to Cooperstown, because this is the type of player he was. He was a Hall of Fame caliber person on and off the field. And really, ever since he went to the Mets, he has just been that model that all of these players can look up to. And now as a broadcaster, there's no one more beloved than Keith Hernandez. And I think I heard Anthony Recker discuss putting a microphone on that number as well. I know Brian Wright and I have talked about that in the past when he comes on for our Throwback Thursday segments. I mean, we've been discussing Keith Hernandez getting his number retired since I first got into having these conversations with Brian Wright on the show back at the height of the pandemic in 2020. Keith Hernandez means so much to this franchise, not only for being that player that helped get that team going in the 80s, but also for him being, you know, part of a lot of our childhoods. I grew up listening to Keith Hernandez on the games, the best broadcast booth in the sport with Ron Darling and Gary Cohen. And to have grown up and admiring a player that I never got to actually watch play, it is really just interesting the emotions I was filled with finding out that he finally got this honor, because he deserves it. And the one thing that I love about where the Mets are going is Steve Cohen is doing a great job as a fan, really honoring the tradition and the history. And with the Wilpons, it always felt like they had this bar, this unreasonable bar that had to be set, that, you know, if you weren't a Yankee caliber jersey retirement player, you didn't deserve that honor with the Mets. If you weren't in the Hall of Fame, you're not going to get your number retired. They only retired Seaver and Piazza. Kuzman might have been announced at the end of their tenure, but it was at a point where, let's be honest, they were hearing so much backlash that they finally started to cave in. They, you know, named Seaver way, and they announced the statue when Tom Seaver is too old to be able to enjoy it. And I'm just thrilled that Keith Hernandez gets this honor when he's still able to enjoy it, where he can get in front of the fans at a sold out crowd at Citi Field and can wax poetic about his career and really get to drink in that love and that adoration. And as Keith Hernandez spoke with the media today about the honor, he did talk about that outpouring from the fans. He has such a connection to this fan base. I'm just thrilled they finally got this right, and they're getting these things right. They are starting to, you know, put more guys into the Mets Hall of Fame that deserve it. They're starting to retire jerseys, and I think we can even get into conversations at a later date about, you know, future jerseys that should be retired. Should David Wright be retired next? Gary Carter, you know, Carlos Beltran. You know, if he goes into the Hall of Fame with the Mets cap, is he going to get his number 15 retired? Can they mend that fence after the weird fallout with him having to be removed as manager due to the Astros cheating scandal? The Mets are apparently, according to Keith Hernandez, going to have an old timers day this year, which is something that the Yankees have kind of carved out. But why can't the Mets celebrate some of their great players? Who wouldn't want to see, you know, Curtis Granderson, the young spry guy out there with some of the vets like Hernandez and Orozco and Strawberry, whoever else wants to show up to play in that game or just be part of that game? This is a time where the Mets can be good on the field. That's what's going to take this franchise over the top. They have to win, and there's no doubt about that. But what Steve Cohen has been doing as far as improving the stadium, as far as improving the product on the field, as far as improving the connection to Mets history, this is what makes the fan experience so much better. This is why more people are going to want to buy season tickets so they can have that shot to be at the Keith Hernandez game, that they can be part of these things moving forward. And I just think that the New York Mets are in such a better place right now than they were 2 years ago. And a large part of that, you know, almost all of that is due to Steve Cohen and his investment in this team. He is giving all of us the type of experience as fans that we just would never have had with the Wilpons. And Keith Hernandez is one of the most significant players in this franchise's history. There was no reason why that number 17 should have been retired a long time ago. And finally, he gets that honor. Could he get a greater honor, though? Because I think he should be a Hall of Famer. I've said that many times. I'm going to make that case in just a minute. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. And if yours is about getting fitter, eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It'll make it so much easier to stick to your resolution because they taste so good, you'll want to eat them. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy, Built Bar is delicious and comes covered in 100% chocolate, so it can certainly cure that sweet tooth if you're on that new diet. Most Built Bars contain just 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein compared to a candy bar, which usually has 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, dozens of net carbs. You don't want that. So here's an idea for the new year. Try Built Bar to help you stick to your diet plans. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to built.com. Make sure you use the promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Now, I'm about to get into a detailed case for why Keith Hernandez deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but I think I was able to accomplish that in just 140 characters because I sent out a tweet today that really has gotten a lot of attention because Keith Hernandez belongs in very rare company. When you talk about the double-digit gold glovers and you just go through that list, there's 15 guys who have done it. If you combine that stat right there, a double-digit gold glove winner, plus being an MVP, plus winning a batting title. Do you know how small that list gets of players who have accomplished those three things? You have Willie Mays, who I unfortunately in the tweet added an E to his name. I mean, I got Ichiro Suzuki right. I got Roberto Clemente right. Of course, I got Keith Hernandez right, but I didn't spell Mays right, you know. You win some, you lose some, but that's an E I certainly would like to have back. But that's the list. It's Willie Mays, Roberto Clemente, Ichiro Suzuki, and Keith Hernandez. Willie Mays and Roberto Clemente were rightfully inducted into the Hall of Fame, their first time on the ballot. Obviously, Clemente was in a different situation there where after he passed away, they just put him right into the Hall as he obviously so clearly deserved. Ichiro Suzuki is not yet on the ballot, but in 2025, he is a shoo-in to be a Hall of Famer, might be a unanimous Hall of Famer with the numbers that he put up throughout his career. And then you have Keith, who is just sitting here off the ballot, failed to get 5% of the vote in his ninth year on the ballot, and is now just hoping the Veterans Committee will put him in before he kicks the bucket, as he said. And to me, that's just not right. And I know that the case against Hernandez is the offense. So instead of talking about his otherworldly defense, which we'll get to in a little bit, I want to focus on some stats offensively that to me boost up his Hall of Fame resume enough that they should let the best defensive first baseman in MLB history in. Because that's the thing. No one has ever played first base like Keith Hernandez. So if he is just slightly above average offensively, yeah, you'd think, all right, he'd be in. But he was better than slightly above average. You look at Ozzie Smith, and I am not trying to say that Smith does not belong in the Hall of Fame. He was a wizard at shortstop. He deserves all the recognition he gets. But his career weighted runs created plus, which is a stat that measures hitters based on a league average of 100. For his career, his WRC plus was 90. He was 10% below average. Keith Hernandez's career WRC plus was 131. Well above average hitter, someone who was the number three hitter on two World Series championship teams, somebody who won MVP in 1979 when he also won the batting title, hitting 344, a 417 on base percentage, a 513 slugging percentage. He had 70 extra base hits that year, 105 RBIs, and a 156 WRC plus. He led the league with 48 doubles and 116 runs scored, and as I said, won a batting title with that 344 average. The next year, he led the league in on-base percentage. So it's not like there was a big drop-off. He was still great. He finished in the top five in MVP voting three times. In 1984, he was the runner-up. In 1986, he came in fourth. He was an above-average to all-star-level offensive player with the Gold Gloves. So you pair those things together, and this idea that his Hall of Fame case is not because of the offense, it's simply because he's a first baseman. And that's only because he was left-handed. You know, Keith Hernandez, if he threw a righty, he would be maybe as good as Brooks Robinson was at third base. He could have played shortstop. You see the way that he played first base, the athleticism he brought to that position. Keith Hernandez, if he was not left-handed, could have played anywhere. But instead, he played a brand of baseball at first base that we've never seen before and we'll probably never see again. 11 consecutive Gold Gloves. You know how many players have done that? How many players have gotten gold and owned a position for over a decade? You have Brooks Robinson, who I just mentioned at third base, Ozzie Smith at short, and Clemente. 13 for Brooks, 13 for Smith, 12 for Clemente. And Keith in fourth there with the 11 in a row. You look at all the players in MLB history that even have the double-digit Gold Gloves. It's Greg Maddux with 18, Jim Catt with 16, Robinson with 15, Pudge Rodriguez 13, Ozzie Smith, as I already mentioned, 13, Clemente 12, Omar Vizquel 11, Hernandez 11, Willie Mays 11, Ichiro Suzuki 10, Andrew Jones 10, Ken Griffey Jr. 10, Roberto Alomar 10, Mike Schmidt 10, and Johnny Bench 10. Of those 15 players, the only ones not in the Hall, it's Hernandez, it is Andrew Jones, and Omar Vizquel. His scale has some other reasons why he's not getting in. Also, I think if you just put his case up to Hernandez, I still think Hernandez has a better case anyway. Andrew Jones, in my opinion, should be a Hall of Famer, but he is not. Still, that combination of defense and offense, it's there for Keith. Sure, he didn't hit 400 home runs, but he went out. He helped his teams win. He was a leader. He really did transform that team in the 80s with the Mets. He had a great 10 years with the Cardinals. And if you just look at that composite, you put it all together and you look at that career slash line where he hit 296, 384 on base percentage for his career, 436 slugging percentage. I just don't get why there are so many people that'll still, you know, push back on that notion that Keith was a Hall of Famer. And I feel like his lack of success at the time when he was getting voted in, I think part of that was some hangover from some of the bridges he burned as a star player in his career, where he wasn't as friendly to the media as he would as he became a member of the media because he had the cocaine incident where he was made an example of by Major League Baseball at the time and was kind of the face of a problem that was a lot bigger than just Keith. So I think all those things maybe played in to why he didn't get enough recognition then. And again, not having the home runs and some of the requisite power numbers for a first baseman, that certainly hurt him. But now there's a veterans committee that's out there. I just don't see how they can ignore his case any longer. And I want to talk about that a bit more because there's a few more stats I have that I think really jump out. And I also want to talk about how Keith's leadership should be acknowledged by the Hall of Fame as well. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march towards the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year, a new updated desktop and mobile website. So sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using the promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, I've already alluded to the stat that still is the biggest reason I think Keith deserves to be in the Hall, that he is one of four players ever to have the 10 gold gloves, to have the batting title and the MVP. Not sure if I mentioned this already, but if you throw in the two World Series, it's only him and Clemente. So that is the concrete base of my argument. But the further you expand it out, I just see other reasons why he deserves this recognition. And you look at the leadership he brought to the table, particularly with the New York Mets, to go from a World Series championship team with the Cardinals in 82 to get cast aside because of a rift with Whitey Herzog. You go to the Mets, that team's terrible. I mean, at the time, they had already lost, you know, six seasons in a row. They had terrible losing seasons. That was going to be the seventh, his first year at the Mets. And he could have left. And as Keith talked about in the 30 for 30 that just came out, and also he talked about in the presser today, you know, his dad said, hey, look, I think the Mets have some up-and-coming talent. You can be a real leader. There is a chance to win in New York. He stays, and everything turned around from his first full season on. 1984 comes around, the Mets win 90 games. They eclipse that mark in each of his first five seasons with the Mets. In his sixth season, his sixth full season, his seventh season overall with the team, he was hurt, only played 75 games, and the Mets still won 87 games overall, but he was not the same player at that stage in his career. Still, you look at the five-year prime that he had with the Mets, they were 488 and 320 during that span, winning percentage over 600. They were a great baseball team, one of, if not the best team in the National League during that time. And it's all about Keith. It's all about what he helped build. He, if you watch that 30 for 30, which I still recommend anybody watch, Once Upon a Time in Queens, they really did a great job of illuminating what he meant to that team, because all of his teammates, and we've heard it as the number has been retired today, as they've talked about that they've announced it, all of the teammates have come out with an outpouring of love and respect for Keith. It's because of how he helped launch a lot of their careers. A lot of these players, you know, who are just getting started, Lenny Dykstra, Kevin Mitchell, Ron Darling, you know, Daryl Strawberry, Doc Gooden, all these players that were coming up, Keith was the example. He set the winning culture. He established it. He was the guy that told Jesse Orosco, you know, don't throw another fastball, throw all sliders in that game where his arm was dead in the playoffs. He's the one that was running every single relay play. He was in the heart of all the action. The way he would field bunts is unprecedented. We've never seen that fearlessness. He was one of the most fundamentally sound players the game has ever seen. And he brought those fundamentals. He brought that winning identity. He brought all of that to a Mets team that needed a North Star, that needed somebody who they could follow and who could lead them into what ultimately culminated in a 1986 season where they set a franchise record with 108 wins. And again, Keith was their best player. So you look at all those things, and whether he's a Hall of Famer or not, this honor is something that we all, as Mets fans, should be, you know, showing our appreciation. We all should be thrilled that he got this honor. We all should tell Keith we love him now when he can still appreciate it. And I just am so thrilled that he is going to be up there with Mike Piazza, Kuzman, Seaver, Hodges, all those guys, and to see him get that recognition that he so deserves. It's a great thing for this Mets franchise. And again, if I'm looking at it from a national perspective, I just don't see why it's not a Hall of Famer. And a few more stats I have before we close here when it comes to the Hall of Fame. Back in December, the Veterans Committee inducted 6 new members of the Hall of Fame. Buck O'Neill, Gil Hodges, of course, Minnie Minosa, Tony Oliva, Jim Catt, and Bud Fowler. Now, Keith Hernandez has a better career WAR than all those players. So that's just one thing to note. When it comes to JAWS, which is Jaffe's wins above replacement score, which is a system created by Jay Jaffe that evaluates a player's worthiness for enshrinement in the National Baseball Hall of Fame by comparing him to the Hall of Famers at his position, looks at his WAR, and looks at the prime years compared to the composite of their entire career, gets a score. And for Keith Hernandez, his score is 50.8. Now, that JAWS score is not, you know, at the upper echelon of Hall of Famers, but it is better than a dozen first basemen that are already in the Hall. So you have a dozen first basemen that are in the Hall that were worse players, that were less qualified to make the Hall of Fame based on the JAWS score. You had the fact that, again, he is the best defensive first baseman the game has ever seen and probably will ever see. You had the fact that he won 2 championships. And then on top of that, as we acknowledge players for what they did in their post-career, I don't know if this necessarily should push him over the top when it comes to the Hall of Fame. But you look at a broadcasting career that is pretty accomplished as well, being a significant part in one of the, you know, biggest franchises in the sport, being a big part in moving that franchise along and you know, creating a tradition of Mets fans through his work as a color commentator. You add it all together, and he's someone that deserves to be in that Hall of Fame, which recognizes baseball history. Because in my opinion, you can't tell the story of the game of Major League Baseball without mentioning Keith Hernandez. That's the kind of impact he had. That's the kind of career he had. That's the kind of person he is. And look, I think that this is a great time in Keith Hernandez's life to see him get that recognition. I think the 30 for 30 was great for him when it came to that. Seeing the Cardinals finally put him in their Hall of Fame this past year was great. The Mets number 17 and maybe the Hall of Fame in a couple of years as well. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. Again, if you want to check out that article I just wrote for Just Baseball, that will be live today. We'll have one more show for the week. Not quite sure what we're talking about. It'll either be prospects or Kyle Schwarber. So we will get into that tomorrow. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Bets. They've been on a tear recently. You got NFL playoffs this weekend, so you're going to want to tune into Locked On Bets. You can find them wherever you get podcasts.